Thanks, homie. So yeah, I could take a pinky, but not a whole dick. That'd be brutal. Oh, fuck, we're recording. All right, welcome to the Dangerous Freedom Podcast, episode 12?
Or is it 11?
Oh, fuck. We're in the double digits, y'all.
Yeah.
Episode not 10.
Yeah, we have exactly 10 fingers, so it gets tricky after this point.
Yeah, we can't.
We have to kick off a show.
We're like actually like, oh, you're not looking it up. Well, no. Welcome to the Dangerous Freedom Podcast, episode 11 or 12.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Somewhere around a dozen. Anyhow, we are joined tonight by the one and only magical, intangible man, myth, legend, whatever you want to call him. Just don't call him late for dinner, am I right, ladies? That was fucking gay. David Blaine.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
So, David, how's life been?
Life is great. Just been working on some new magic tricks. My latest one is one where I make my mini David Blaines disappear in milk. It's going great.
This is a good idea.
Oh, fuck. Shit. So, David, do you have any other tricks up your arsenal? What are you working on lately?
Oh, you know, just hating on socialism, you know.
Yeah.
Good red-blooded American.
Yeah,
like
you...
we all should.
I think your best magic trick is fucking my sister for a living.
It is a great magic trick, and it is actually probably my favorite magic trick.
Oh, whoops.
Fuck.
You have a white lighter now.
Yeah, thanks. He just tore the whole thing off the outside of my
lighter.
Ladies
and gentlemen, destruction of property on the Dangerous Freak.
Better than communism, you don't even get fucking property, Jesus.
So you get to bang his sister. And
almost
every day. Wow. You've got four kids, so...
Four kids, that is correct.
Yeah, I think maybe that government-provided birth control would do this family some good.
Well, I always tell people I have four kids and a vasectomy, so I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Do you actually
Is that what you tell everyone, or just my sister to ring her back in?
Oh, no. I really do have a vasectomy. She's always...
Well, but you're a magician. Couldn't you just undo that?
I could, but a magician never reveals his secrets, and that is one I will never reveal.
Not everyone can have a Magic Johnson.
Or AIDS.
Yeah. It's funny that he's the spokesperson for AIDS being named Magic Johnson.
That is funny.
Anyways, so we had some Cohen tapes leak this week. They're somewhat damning, I would say.
Somewhat.
They don't look good.
At best case scenario, inconclusive. Worst case, quite damning.
I can't take any hard stance. Like I'm not all up on Trump's dick or anything. Like when he does good, say he does good. When he does bad, I piss off. But these things, I'm sure it happens a lot more than... I'm sure it happens all the time in politics. Obviously, politicians trying to pay off whatever, lie about whatever they can, sweep it under the rug. It's nothing new that we think doesn't happen within American politics.
Right.
But this guy's just getting blasted for it, which, I mean, fair or unfair, I mean, I don't really give a fuck. It happened is the thing. And with that happening, he lied to not only, like, lawyers or investigators, which is one thing, but also to his base.
Yes.
Which, that, to me, seems really disingenuous.
No, it seems very disingenuous to me, too. And to clarify, for those listening who maybe aren't so familiar with the tapes that were leaked, Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer at the time, in 2016, recorded Trump, and Trump was talking about buying the rights to a Playboy story, correct?
Yeah. Which, you know, even the fact that his lawyer recorded him seems... I mean, that's a shit lawyer right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you even... Like, even if it happened or not, like, if you go to your lawyer, like, they're supposed to try to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're doing that out of a strong moral compass or not, you know?
Like, right.
But they're supposed to try to protect you. And so just having that right there put his client, the president, at huge risk, which is now playing out, obviously.
Right.
Well, my question is this an impeachable thing? Like, can they try to run with that, or how's that going to work?
So from what I understand, the only thing that comes with all this is a campaign...
Finance
Yeah,
laws.
Campaign finance laws. So okay. If the money... And it could even... I'm not quite sure. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not quite sure how it all works. So I'm going to lay out two scenarios of how, in my mind, I think these laws work. The first way is it's only illegal if it came out of campaign funds, which would make more sense somewhat. But also, you then at that point, you just have any politician, because most politicians do have a lot of money. It's a fact of it. You don't get into the Senate by being poor, really. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm not going to elaborate on right now. But, the other would be if it's illegal for him to do that in general while he's running, any money that comes out of his pocket could be considered campaign finance funds also. And I don't know which way that plays out, but those are the two ways that I see that it could. And I guess right. both ways are illegal, possibly. Right. The only way he'd get out of it is if it came out of his pocket,
so,
and that's not illegal.
Follow-up question, is this how Bernie can still win? Oh, wait, never mind. He did actually, he was actually confirmed for violating campaign finance laws. Whoops.
Yeah. And, yeah, like, actually, what's the word? Prosecuted for it.
Yeah.
Correct?
He was fined, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so.
Which is, it's really weird to find someone who doesn't believe in money.
He's like, have all of it you want. I don't even care.
Yeah. I already bought my third fucking house. You can take it.
It's a little off topic, but did you guys see, Bernie Sanders had to put out a statement for people to stop sending him economic books on how
like,
he had to put out a statement because so many people are sending him these books.
He needs to read some Thomas Sowell, like,
mm-hmm.
for real.
Milton Friedman.
Yes, please.
Oh.
But anyways, so the way that plays out, I mean, it doesn't look good either way. It really, really all that's conclusive from it is that President Trump basically lied to either his team lied for him or he lied to his team. Either one could be true. But he lied. I mean, that boils down to it. He lied. And I've never thought of him as being like Donald Trump's a fucking honest man.
Yeah.
But that's something I would appreciate. Like, I mean, I don't think that it would honestly, I don't vote on those issues. I vote on policy, to be honest. And I, like me personally, and I think a lot of his base is this way, I'd be like, eh, whatever, he fucked a fucking porn star, like,
yeah.
Props, bro.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think there's anyone in Trump's base saying that Trump is necessarily the moral compass for America.
Exactly.
You know. And whether or not you agree with that as a voter is another issue entirely. But Trump's base, Blake and I included, I guess, because, I mean, I don't know about you. I can't remember who you said you voted for, but I voted for Trump.
Voted for Trump, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure David over here did
sure
as well.
Did.
David Blaine voted for Trump.
Question.
Take him out of Hollywood.
I have a question. Did you use any of your magic tricks to manipulate the ballot? And follow-up question, are you Russian?
I am not Russian. Although I did play one in a magic trick once.
Bought.
It was a really great magic trick where I redistributed everyone's wealth. It was awesome.
Wow. So Bernie Sanders is a wizard, is what you're saying?
He's connected with some wizards. From.
I thought that was Hillary Clinton and a different kind of wizard entirely.
That's what I was trying to get to. Appreciate you helping me out with that.
Oh, no problem at all.
I think that Monica Lewinsky was a fucking, like, genitalia genie, so...
Oh, I thought she was just, like, a snake summoner that got lost.
Bill.
She was a spokesperson for vending machines, because they also say, insert Bill.
God damn. David Blaine is ruthless tonight, folks. He is unhinged. He has been fasting for 31 days in a sheet of ice.
Yeah, he just froze himself for fun.
See, that's part of the whole play in the Russian thing, is not eating and being cold all the time. It's all part of it.
This is good.
Oh, so anyhow, moving on. The Trump tape was bad. Also some big news. The House Republicans are trying to put in motion the impeachment of Rosenstein.
Rob Rosenstein.
Which, realistically, will probably never happen, because at his particular position, it's only ever happened once in the history of America. But I find it interesting that a guy on their side of the team is now actively being moved to be impeached by the team.
Yeah, that's bad. It's bad news. It's all bad news.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah, well, think of the repercussions this might have within the Republican Party for midterms.
Yeah.
It just shows a greater
rift. A huge disconnect within the party, which has been there, but I thought that it kind of went away for a while.
Right.
And now it's
and back. I did, too. You see some of the polls and stuff showing that the blue wave probably won't be nearly as big as people expect, and then some shit like this happens, it creates a rift within the party.
Well, you know, the good thing about it is that I don't think that most of Americans... most of the voters in America are probably real up to date on these sort of things. I bet you could, if you went around and asked people on the street, if they, hey, what's happening with Rosenstein right now? They'd be like, who the fuck's Rosenstein?
Sounds like a Jew to me.
Yeah. Oh, that lawyer?
Yeah. Like, that banker?
Yeah. I mean, so I think that, I don't know if this is really going to cause a huge disconnect in the voters necessarily, but within the party, it's definitely not good.
Right. I'm just curious to see the precedent it may set for the rest of the party and how much weakness it may show from the ripple effect of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Trump's... It's only fair to say at this point. So, well, I'm actually not even going to go here because I guess I'm... Even me, and I'm talking about it on the show right now, I'm slightly unaware. What are the grounds that they're trying to... Why exactly... We're going to pull it up, I guess. Why exactly we're trying to...
While he's pulling that up, I just want to say that historically, after an election, whatever side of the aisle the president is on, the midterms are usually the other way, historically.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't be surprised if it went that way anyway. But
which the sad thing is you think about that. So on a historical basis, you think about, you know, president, and then you have your midterms, which is really how laws get moved through, is not by the president. It's by the other bodies of lawmaking. And... So it's flipping every, you know, 2 years. And what can you really get done in that amount of time? Like, I mean, it really shows how short of amount of time that a certain party has to move laws through that they're trying to get through.
It is a very slow process.
It's just, it's stalemate all the time in Congress is all it is. Nobody wants to work with each other. There's no, especially now, like, everybody has decided that Trump is the bad guy. And they're going to, whether or not the policy is good or not, if he supports the policy, it's going to get shot down by Democrats. I mean, just nonstop.
So basically, to get back on it here, this is from a BBC article, the greatest source for American news, I know. basically, the grounds for the impeachment, because Rod Rosenstein has overseen the investigation into Russian collusion into our election. And basically, the articles of impeachment, which were filed by 11 conservative Republicans on Wednesday evening.
The Freedom Caucus, actually.
Yeah. They accused Mr. Rosenstein of failing to comply with requests for documents relating to the Russia inquiry. So, they're trying to impeach him on the grounds that he's stonewalling information regarding the investigation that he's in charge of.
Which, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Freedom Caucus. And,
Boy, Rand.
Rand.
Rand Paul?
Yeah, that's my dude.
Love Rand Paul.
Rome was better, but yeah, I'll take it.
I do enjoy clarity and transparency within government. I want
right.
to, we have every right to know.
Right, they're representing us.
Yeah,
we elected them.
We have every right to know what happened. So I see where they're coming from, and that's exactly where they're coming from. I can tell you that the 11 conservatives that came on that, it was the House Freedom Caucus, and those dudes, their entire logic behind it, if I had to, you know... just shoot at it, would be that the American people have the right to know
right.
what happened
right.
and what this information is.
So it's like, hey, Rob, what do you got? And he's like, I'm fucking working on it.
Go away. Get out of my room.
Yeah, if he is doing something wrong, I don't think he gets a free pass just because he's on the conservative side.
No,
he's
definitely
held
not.
Accountable.
No, and I'm not saying
exactly
that at all.
I think that's exactly what we're saying, is he doesn't
yeah.
deserve a free pass.
No, but I was just wondering the implications that it would have within the Republican Party in terms of showing weakness within the party itself.
I'm sure it can be spun by the left to be something.
Honestly?
Right. And that's what I'm getting at.
And, you know, I'm going to go on a huge, which is not going to happen because Trump's base is so huge and fanatic.
They're huge. Honestly, the biggest base ever.
They're huge.
We're going to win so bigly.
So bigly. But where I'm going with that is...
Have you seen Hillary's
base?
When
he got elected, the last election, in my opinion, the candidates were so shit. I was like, okay, Trump, like, we'll give it a shot. And it hasn't been terrible. But I was like, dude, in 4 years, run somebody else. And I don't think it's going to happen for the fact that his base is so big in Fnatic that they're not going to vote for anybody else. Like, it would be stupid by the Republican Party to even try that. But from a policy and lawmaking standpoint, I mean, I feel stupid for, like, I would love to see Ted Cruz.
Yeah. I did see one thing that concerned me. Some Soros foundations are looking at buying up all of the voting machines. And once they do that, they're going to say it's proprietary, so we don't have to show you how it works. And if they do that, who's to say that they couldn't swing it whichever way they want at that point? Yeah, that concerns me.
That would be concerning. I would, anytime I hear the word Soros, I definitely want to see a lot more sources and stuff on that before I go into it. Right. I'm like, okay, Alex Jones.
I was going to say, there's actually...
Hey, for your next magic trick, can you make the frogs not gay?
I don't know if I can pull that one off. I'd rather make the Statue of Liberty disappear again. We can get the Muslims on the night.
Well, Bernie Sanders wants to destroy freedom, so you can do that
symbolically.
Symbolically. I'll get right to work on the frogs.
I thought that was David Copperfield that made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Well, David Copperfield reincarnate, so
I thought he was still alive.
Common knowledge, Brad.
Don't poke holes in it. It's magic.
Dude.
I mean,
have you seen Harry Potter? People don't really die.
Yeah, they just
turn. I don't make my life into a Harry Potter book. I'm not a leftist.
I do love Harry Potter. I don't know what that makes me. A leftist?
Is Voldemort Trump?
Yes.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Man.
Dude, Trump is Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it from a different stance, if you look at Voldemort, it's basically a noseless guy obsessed with a teenage boy. I don't know if I want my kids really watching that at this point.
Come here, boy. I'll show you some magic.
Or you could look at it as the ginger being the third wheel for 7 years straight and not realizing it.
I mean, at that point, he's ginger. Shouldn't he be used to it?
He should.
Anyways. We're getting out here.
That's okay. So, regarding the topic that made this podcast, that founded this podcast, the Second Amendment, let's talk about recreational marijuana. Being passed, or not recreational, excuse me, medicinal marijuana that will totally always be used medicinally in Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, there's no chance for any sort of foul play in that. So basically, to let our thousands of viewers know, I do have my federal firearms license, so the government says I can sell guns, so I deal with the ATF. I actually called them about this. If you want medical marijuana, kiss your Second Amendment rights goodbye. That's basically it. But it gets a little bit worse than that, because if someone in your household wants to get it and you want no part of it, you also lose your Second Amendment rights. Now, I called them specifically for this because my wife does have anxiety, and she wanted to look into getting her medical marijuana card. So the way that the ATF told me about it on the phone was that she cannot have any access to firearms in the house, which means I can't have one on my person. I cannot have one in a safe in the house because she would have a card.
Holy shit. So that's news to me completely. I was unaware of that.
You can look this up. I spoke directly to the ATF.
Well, I mean, you to have quote an FFL.
Shank Uger, Google it.
I mean, you have an FFL, so that's obviously important to you. You're federally licensed to sell firearms, which is, actually, I didn't know that. That's good to know, because...
David Blaine's next magic trick, he's going to sell a high point.
Well, no, I still have to buy in Texas. I can get rifles sent to you, though.
Correct.
Oh, nice.
You can get handguns sent to me, too, if you want. You can get anything sent to me.
Well, I'm not an Oklahoma resident, so I couldn't purchase it from you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Texas resident, so gotcha. I can do rifles, but not handguns. I have to go to Texas to buy a handgun.
Yep.
But I have been, side note, we haven't talked about gun stuff in a while. I'm just going to get off for just a second.
No, go for it.
I'm not going to stop you.
You familiar with Q?
Q.
The gun manufacturer, Q?
Very vaguely, yes.
Oh, man, dude. They have a rifle called the Honey Badger.
Okay, yeah.
It's their AR platform.
I have seen the 100 badge.
They do an ISR version of it that's, like, really gnarly. I don't want to pay for the tax stamp, so I'm not going to, but I want to get, like, a full-length queue, the okay. Honey Badger. I might have to get one of those sent to you.
Okay.
No, dude, that's my next rifle. Like, I want one up. So bad.
Mine's probably going to be a Marlin 1895 guide gun, 45-70.
Oh, yeah, Marlins are sick, dude. I've seen some really cool renditions of Marlins where they've, like, actually thrown on a, like, an M-lock rail onto the Marlin.
Yep, and there's, oh, gosh, the one with the gray laminate stock has one on there.
Oh, like, it already stock. Has one. Yeah, okay,
it
yeah.
It comes with it now.
Yeah, and I think that's a really cool gun, actually.
From Jurassic World fame. If you
oh the guy and on there the guy know. That actually shot that gun I think on Jurassic World was he's like a big Instagram gun guy, True Exodus on Instagram. He was in there like doing all the memes that I'm like all into, like the kind of Instagram gun meme community.
Nice. And wow, sounds very prestigious.
Oh yeah. I follow all that shit. They all, like, roast the shit out of each other, and, like, all the Instagram gun guys and all, they roast the fuck out of them. And when he got into Jurassic World, the fucking memes off of it, like, they had a picture of this guy sitting there, like, it might have been a screenshot from the movie, but he's sitting there, like, talking to two other dudes. They're like, at this moment, True Exodus is being confronted by the rest of the crew for drawing from concealed and, like, knife slashing a rubber dummy. Because that's, like, all his
sounds
videos
like
are.
A party to me.
It was hilarious. But anyways.
But reeling that back in a little bit, the reason I don't like this, I don't like any infringement on our Second Amendment rights in any law is, but, I mean, that's it. It's that simple. There's no due process to this whatsoever. If you get the card, you're just automatically stripped. There's no process you can go through, which I'm not saying that I would want that. But, I mean, there's just nothing you can do. And I hate that every single thing like this, there's attacks on the Second Amendment that you don't have on any other amendment. And when I talk to the people on the left, I used to use the First Amendment, but they really don't give a crap about giving up free speech.
They don't care anymore.
So I would use examples like the Third Amendment and the Eighth. So what is the process before you're stripped of your Second Amendment rights that you have no problem doing? That you would also be okay with not having that process for the Third Amendment. You're going to have to put up soldiers in your house that, against your will, until you can petition government to get that right back. Yeah. Or the Eighth Amendment. You're going to be subjected to cruel and unusual punishment until you petition the government to get off that list. Or in this case, get rid of your medical marijuana card.
Let me tell you, it's really hard to write a convincing letter regarding the Eighth Amendment when you're locked in a government-funded sex dungeon.
when Bill Clinton.
Have you ever tried to write with a quill pen in your mouth?
Like, when Bill Clinton gets a hold of you, you're not going to have a good time, I promise.
Oh.
Ask Juanita.
I do have to say, I do have some experience getting out of leather straps being with your sister. We'll just leave it at that.
Yikes.
Oh, damn, son.
Oh.
Anyway, but go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just, I find, so there's a lot of things, like, I play Devil's Advocate a lot on the show, and so where I'm going to go with this is, and I still have my opinion, like, I'm going to reel it all back in, but I'm going to throw out what I throw out and then reel it back in. So basically, you get this card. One could say you are choosing to get this card, all the while knowing what the law is. Not saying the law is just or not. I'm just, like, as correct. It is. You, which maybe that's what we're talking about, is if the law is just or not, which I believe we are. But, so you do this, and you are choosing to get your medical marijuana card, all the while knowing that you're going to give up your right to firearms. Now, what I didn't know that I just learned tonight, that if someone in your home has a medical marijuana card, the firearms can't be there. To me, like, that's insane. Like, imagine, I guess if somebody's living in your home, then maybe you should have that conversation, but that couldn't always be the case. I mean, what if you're in, I mean, just if you live with someone, what if it's a roommate, you know, you live with a roommate, which this is all completely anecdotal. Like, I would say, well, then fucking move if you don't like it. I mean, is the solution to that, obviously, but it's not speaking to whether the law is just or not. Does then I guess the question, like, I don't want to get into the marijuana issue because I'm pro-marijuana. So I would love to see, and there's states with recreational where it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Which is the funny thing. Is anybody,
well, on a federal level, it still does matter.
But you can't be stripped of your right to own a firearm if it's recreational, because anybody can fucking just go in and buy the weed.
Right.
You know.
If, as an FFL, if you know that somebody does it, you still have to deny them.
Really?
Even in recreational states.
Wow.
Yeah, if you... There have been people sent to prison because they hinted about it in the shop, and then somehow it got reported back to the authorities. They are very serious about that. It's nuts. If someone comes in and says, hey, I smoked pot 10 years ago, there could be a very good chance that I would have to deny them their sale based on that. It's psychotic.
Yeah, and that's not fair, because why would someone who smoked pot, whether you fucking smoked pot, did meth, did heroin, did fucking bath salts, it doesn't fucking matter, 10 years ago, why would that affect your right to own a firearm today? And also, why would whatever the fuck, which I know that there's a big slippery slope argument to take here against what I'm about to say, but does doing a drug, the government does not have the right to strip you of that Second Amendment right, no matter what the fuck drug you do.
Correct. That's what
until you do a crime, which is also the shitty slippery slope argument of sit and wait, which I think really goes into the Erbo stuff that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But is it, it's unjust to strip those rights away without cause, and there's no due process.
When you're talking about the Ervo, that goes back into what I was saying about the Third Amendment and the Eighth Amendment. What process is there for you to...
Yeah, it's a two-week order. So we'll, I guess, segue into the Ervo stuff right now. So the Ervo is an... what's the acronym stand for, Brad, again?
ERPO?
ERPO.
Emergency.
ERPO. Extreme Risk
Protection Order.
Yeah.
Okay. So ERPO is an Extreme Risk Protection Order that I guess there's... I didn't even know about this, but I guess now there's 14 states...
13
states that have enacted red flag laws. It is a law that allows someone to file a grievance with whatever local law enforcement that someone may be unfit to... They're to keep their Second Amendment right, basically. They can't have... You're saying, I don't think this person should have guns, whether or not they've done anything or not.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge slippery slope here of, like, your fucking pissed off ex-girlfriend, you made your mom mad or whatever. They're calling the cops and being like, hey, I don't think he should have guns. He got really mad today, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's all it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's literally all it takes. And the cops, they investigate it. And I will say this, and if you look into the actual numbers, so I'm going to use Washington, for example, which it's crazy the amount of numbers that have been filed. I'd like to know when the law was actually put into place. But currently there, I think, were 14,000.
Wow.
And I could be wrong. 14,000 petition, like, grievances filed. Only 30 of them have been carried out.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean... There's a big disconnect there, but there are 14,000. Imagine if the, you know, I guess where I'm trying to go with this is...
Imagine if it were implemented more and carried out more.
Exactly. And that's bad. That's really bad.
Right.
That's backdoor gun control, and Second Amendment right is gone.
But nobody has, like, you have not done, these are people that have not committed a crime, have not done anything wrong.
Well,
it's just someone saying, oh, they kind of got scary the other day, I don't think they should have a gun.
Right.
And being scary, you're basically going to be...
What is scary?
Generally reported by someone from the left.
Well, and here...
I have had people say I was harassing them because we were having a discussion, I was asking questions, I was harassing them. So it could be
all the time.
Anything.
Right. Well, and the really telling statistic from this, there's really limited data available because the sample sizes for these polls are usually small, because it's always among prisoners who have already committed these violent crimes with firearms. But out of these prisoners, and the poll numbers vary a little from prison to prison, but I think the median number is anywhere from 10 to 13%. A violent gun crime is committed with a firearm that was legally purchased by the perpetrator of said crime. Only about 13% on the high end of that.
So most of these guns are obtained illegally
or stolen. Well, I mean obtained illegally.
Yeah.
But
illegally or stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But these guns, so they're 10 to 13% legal purchase. Yeah. That's let's just
One of the polls I seen actually that was very interesting. It was a poll of I think 100 Chicago prisoners. And out of those 99, they had committed a violent crime with a firearm. Only one of them had actually purchased the gun themselves and passed a background check.
I just saw a gas station picture from Chicago. It said, if you pull into this, and I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically saying, when you pull in to get gas here, have your gun already out. That's how bad it is.
Chicago's a third world country. As Trump would say, it's a shithole.
Speaking of shithole third world countries...
Are we talking about Canada now? Not yet. No, my bad. Don't want to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, we'll talk about Canada. It's on the fast track. The Toronto shooting. Blake, take it away.
So, was it today or yesterday whenever we're recording this? I don't know. There was recently a shooting in Toronto with that left two people dead and, I believe, 12 injured. The shooter, I'd love to do the whole Ben Shapiro, we're not going to say his name thing, but it's kind of necessary, I believe. The shooter's name was Fasim Hussein. Hussein.
Yeah.
Barack Hussein.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Yeah. Sorry, I've been waiting to get that lick in since I read this story. But, and so ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack. The article I read was that ISIS has been getting really out there in where they're claiming basically anything whose last name sounds Arabic, they're claiming responsibility for the attack. And where I'd like to go with that, they're like, well, it wasn't ISIS. I don't care about ISIS. I don't. I don't care about ISIS. I don't care about Al-Qaeda. I don't care about Al-Shabaab. Any of these crazy extremist organizations.
Al-Shabaab almost sounds like a really sketchy, like, Arabian eBay.
I was going to say, like, a two-star restaurant or something. Like
I was thinking,
Al-Shabaab.
I was thinking, like a really weird, like, Arabic band, but...
Al-Shabaab?
Yeah. But anyways, so all these extreme Islamic terrorist organizations... I don't give a fuck. To me, they're all the same.
Right.
And an attack carried out, but I don't give a fuck. The guy's last name was fucking Hussein. Do you think he did it for, like, because he did it for Allah?
He didn't do it for the Vine, guys.
Yeah, it was for his religion. That's what it was. Like, to call it anything else would just be completely disingenuous.
I did see an earlier report where they did find he was visiting ISIS websites on his computer.
And that's what I'm saying. Whether or not he was in communication with ISIS or not, that's what this article was saying. They're like, well, it wasn't ISIS. We can't just jump to it being ISIS. Okay, well, let's not jump to it being ISIS. Let's jump to it being Islam.
Right, and that's what it was. That's the really disingenuous thing the left does. They try and disavow attacks like this from ISIS, and then they say, see, it's not ISIS. It couldn't possibly be in the name of Islam, because anyone who's not a member of ISIS is extremely peaceful and rational.
Yeah, the peaceful Muslims. But it's not that. That's not the case.
And it's been majority.
It's been proved time and time again. I mean, how many times do we have to go through this with these attacks happening and innocent Western people being killed for this fucking
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
This shit religion. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I'm an atheist. Like, I think all religions are basically shit. But this one's the shittiest. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Calm down, Bill Maher. Oh. But no. And that's the thing about it. Like I was saying, it's just this completely disingenuous tactic from the left, in my opinion, to say that, oh, well, if it wasn't absolutely ISIS, then there's no way that it could have ever been done in the name of Islam. Which, to me, is completely bullshit, because Islam is a completely backwards religion that, you know, you talk about treating women like second-class citizens. But hey, Saudi Arabian women can drive now, so long as a man accompanies them. That's progress, right?
And I also do want to hit on the weapon that was used. It was, from the reports that I've seen, it was a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-automatic handgun. He had seven 15-round magazines, obviously he didn't get to use them all. Thank God.
How was he? Did he take it? I guess I didn't. I don't know if I didn't get that far or didn't. Did he take his own life or was he? Okay,
yeah,
he killed himself. He killed himself.
From what I understand, and I could be wrong about this portion of it, as soon as the authorities arrived, he just offed himself.
Okay.
Thanks for saving, you know, a cop's bullet. Appreciate that. But the problem with that is I just want to point out the futility of gun laws at all. In Canada, you have to go through a pretty stringent process just to get a license to own hunting rifles of any sort. And then once you have that, you have to go through an even harder process. It's called a PAL. I can't remember what that stands for off the top of my head.
Leave it to Canada to have a process called PAL.
Yeah. To get what they refer to as a restricted firearm, which is all handguns. AR-15s, AKs, things like that, they're all on the list. So he did not have this license. And basically to get that, you have to have a job where it's necessary for you to have this handgun. He did not have any of that. So, anybody, name me a law that would have stopped this.
Travel ban.
Touche.
Maybe we should screen people a little more with the last name Hussein. Like, there just tends to be a trend there, I'm assuming.
Kind of like a no-fly list, but like a no-name list.
Yeah.
Hussein, you can't come in. You can stay wherever you want, but you can't stay here, pal.
Yeah, what is that? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here?
Yeah.
Is that how that goes?
Yeah. But this really goes to show these super left-leaning administrations in countries such as Canada that are allowing in a high number of immigrants, and where it's even an even way bigger crisis than here in the North American continent. Europe is fucked right now on immigrants. The immigration crisis, the refugee crisis in Europe, it's like, and we were talking about this before the show, like,
it's bordering on absurdity, honestly.
It's over 5 million people.
5.5 million
people are awaiting.
5.5 million people have either received refuge or are seeking refuge
to go to Europe. Or anywhere in other than, you know, their shithole countries.
Yeah. Which is insane, because I believe, real quick, while you're touching on that, I'm going to look up what Syria's population is, just to get...
Well, that's another thing that you got to think about when you're thinking about Canada or Europe or Germany. Their population is so much smaller than ours.
It's not as much smaller as you would think relative to the geographic size. Not to cut you off, but Syria, as of 2016, had a population of 18 million people.
Yeah, so I was talking about population.
Nearly a third.
Yeah, so nearly a third of them are awaiting refuge in some other country that is less of a shithole.
But also soon to be equally a shithole.
Yeah.
Just a socialist shithole. Which is the worst kind of shithole.
It's actually funny, if it's a socialist country, eventually you will probably shit in a hole. Regularly.
Yeah.
Or the street if you go, you know.
And you'll
places.
Also probably also end up a refugee, so.
But no. So Germany has a population of about 82 million people as of, I think, 2016, 2017. The latest data available says it's about 82 million. So as of 2015, there is no later data available. They've taken in a little over 180,000 of these refugees, these migrants.
Which would account for, what, like
0.4% of their population.
0.4.
Now, despite that, since they've taken on the refugees, they've seen a 10.4% increase in violent crime, 90% of which can be directly attributed to these refugees. So you talk about these refugees representing violent crime 20 times more, 2,000% more than their population would represent.
Well, that can't be right, because Obama told us it's a religion of peace, right?
Well, his middle name's Hussein. Who are you really going to trust?
Obviously, I'm being a smart ass, I know.
No, I know. but you talk about that. That's bad. Then you talk about the fact that they are completely culturally different. Some would even say a little backwards from Western civilization.
I do actually have a couple Quran quotes if you'd like to hear.
Oh, by all means, let's hear the good Book
of
Peace.
Wait a minute. New segment this week. We are having the Book of Peace Quran read by David Blaine. He's going to magically make the Quran sound peaceful.
Yeah. All right, religion of peace. I'm going to do my best. All right. So Quran 2:191. I'm even giving you guys a verse. You can look it up. Slay the unbelievers where you find them. Okay? Quran 3.
I thought there was going to be more.
Any religion other than Islam is not acceptable. Quran 5:33. Maim and crucify the infidels if they criticize Islam. Quran, let me see, is that 8:12? Terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran.
I think we could start a youth group, guys.
Quran 9:30, the Jews and Christians are perverts. Fight them. Let's see. Quran 22:19, punish the unbelievers with garments of fire, hooked iron rods, boiling water, melt their skin and bellies. That sounds like an acid attack to me.
There's so many more.
There's so many more. I'm just going to stop now.
Well, thank you,
get the point.
Thank you for joining us all in a moment of silent prayer. We try to be a family-oriented show. We hope to have more of that on the show every week.
Yeah, scripture readings.
Yeah. Scripture readings.
So, you know,
for the children.
You know, and a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, Christianity, and I'm an atheist, again, second time I've said it tonight,
Yeah, I'm vegan. Shut the fuck up about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not where I'm trying to go. I'm just trying to justify somewhat. But a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, Christianity had its bad shit, too. Well, Christianity, they kind of did, like, they did a redo. They were like,
okay.
Reformation.
Yeah.
Is a word.
We got a 2.0 with the New Testament. And I think it's also disingenuous to compare the world of Christianity around 1,000 years ago
to the world of Islam.
Like, I find it almost
right now.
I find it almost funny that you have to go back in time a millennium, not a decade, not a century, a millennium.
Okay.
To just find the parallel between Islam now and Christianity then.
Well, here's a good way to paint a picture. I have one of my buddies that did two tours.
Real quick, you were talking about painting a picture of Muhammad, I presume.
Of Muhammad? Yes.
We should do that.
We should do that. A Muhammad contest.
Yeah.
Funny story, they did that in Texas. I mean, if you can't tell the trap right from that, like a couple of terrorists showed up and the only two people that died were the terrorists. It was awesome. Paint Mohammed contest in Texas. Really? You didn't see that one coming?
Yeah, like, anyway. That sounds like a game I want to play.
It's almost like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, pretty much they all stood up and all shot them. It was awesome. I forgot what I was talking about at this point.
Painting a picture. Of not Muhammad.
So, if you want to look at the worst, since we're comparing Christianity and Islam, the worst you can find in Christianity nowadays is going to be the Westboro Baptist Church.
All six of them.
Yeah, all six of them that, you know, they all met at a family reunion. But the ones that go outside of, you know, soldiers' funerals and the God hates fag signs, that's the worst you can find. My buddy that did two tours in Iraq...
Iraq for our Islamic audience.
Not talking about ISIS, not talking about police. The regular citizens of that country, you could not go out because they would kill you. That's it. For doing nothing but existing.
Well, I'm kind of a, not completely, somewhat of an anti-war person. The war on terror started, 9/11 was fucking bad and we should have went over there and fucked shit up. I'm all for that when it started, but we've been there for a long time now, and we have even places that weren't as bad off as other places in the Middle East, we fucked them up a little bit.
Right.
Like, legitimately, we have. And to deny that would be disingenuous.
Right,
also.
We destabilized the region.
We did, and we actually led to the probably creation of these extremist groups that are now completely hate America because we're there.
Right, and if not create them, we sort of sped up the process of those groups forming. Mm-hmm.
But let's not also look at the over-politicized rules that they did have to follow up until this recent election. They weren't allowed, really, to do their job effectively, which I think also led to what you're talking about.
Right, a lot of occupation, not a ton of action.
I like it.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. It was almost like we were staying in a hotel.
But a really shitty one.
Right. One made of sand.
It's just 115 degrees and smells like poop.
I would say streets, but you can barely call them that because they just used them as toilets.
And, like, that goes on, like, just the disconnect between, I guess, Western civilization and Eastern civilization. These people, they're not sending us their best people.
A lot of bad hombres.
Yeah.
What's hombre in?
I think it's just man, dude. It's like bad dudes.
Yeah, no, I know, but I want to say actually hombre, but Islamic. I know that doesn't exist, but I wish it did.
Yeah.
I'd immediately convert to Islam if it existed.
It'd be good. But there's a huge disconnect here. You have so when these refugees come to these countries, they're not going in there and they're not getting jobs. They're not saying, okay, I'm going to be Western. I'm going to follow these values that we uphold within Western civilization, which such as, you know, treating women as equals, such as not just like thinking you can kill gay people because a book said so. There's a lot of different things.
Not just kill them, throw them from the highest place.
Yeah. Is that?
Yeah. That's why they throw them off of skyscrapers. They have to take them to the highest place they can find and just launch them off like fucking Angry Birds. But
which honestly,
angry,
you know,
faggots flying.
Which honestly is more work. I mean, you could just throw rocks at their head until they die, which is popular over there. But
yeah.
No, we're going to hike up somewhere with this person.
But what I'm getting at is, so they go to these countries. So let's just use Germany, for example. We talked about the crime rate. But they're going there, and then they are living within their own communities. There is no effort at assimilation. They're living within their own community. They're not getting jobs, for
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was going to say, even among assimilation, even beyond assimilation to the culture, you talk about getting a job, even, and actually contributing to the society that they hate so much that they decided to move to the place where that society was implemented. Makes a lot of sense, I know. First-year refugees and migrants in Germany. Out of all of them, 13% find jobs within the first year. And you think, oh, okay, well, you know, they're still acclimating, whatever. Okay, fine, fair enough. Let's go 5 years. After 5 years in Germany, the unemployment rate actually drops to a staggeringly low 50%.
And so you have one group of your population that is at 50% unemployment.
And are also a very disproportionate beneficiary to the welfare system in
Germany. Yes, because in these countries, they can receive welfare benefits. So they're a complete and total drain on the economy of these countries.
Right, and that's why Germany and Sweden are so popular. They have the most lax laws on these social programs, I guess we'll call them.
Yeah, they're giving it to everyone, which, I mean,
you get food stamps, and you get food stamps, and you get food stamps. Oprah runs Germany now.
But you're not contributing anything, and it kind of goes back to, like the pilgrims, you know? He who does not work does not eat. Like, eventually, that is an unsustainable model. Like, if they were to keep linearly adding refugees at the rate that they are, it would become unsustainable on their welfare system.
It's already approaching that pretty quickly. I mean, I would argue that pretty much any form of welfare is, in the long term, unsustainable. At least at the rates that they are implemented now.
Yeah.
You look at the U.S., you look at any European country, really, and, yeah, it's just not sustainable. So then you import a bunch of immigrants with vastly different values than you, and not particularly skilled ones at that. And it's just a recipe for disaster. 9% of these refugees have never attended school. So I wouldn't exactly make the stretch to call them literate.
And let's not forget, they're basically being assimilated into an essentially unarmed, unprepared populace that cannot defend themselves.
Well, and they're going here, and it kind of piggybacks off of what I was saying, how they're living within their own communities. They're going and living within their own communities in these countries, and they are starting even their own police sort of system, I think.
Right, they're trying to implement Sharia law in the countries where they are the most populous. So you look at Germany, Berlin, the capital of Germany. Now, for our American listeners, which is probably just about all of you, I want you to imagine instead of Berlin, I'm saying Washington, D.C., so that you can understand and just put into frame how absurd this is. There is a Sharia patrol, or at least there was as of last year in Germany, of about 100 Islamic extremists. And they released a statement here that I will read to you. Muslim brothers and sisters, here in Europe, certain Chechen women and men who look like women do unspeakable things. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. This is why we hereby declare, for now, there are about 80 of us. More people are willing to join. Those who have lost their national identity, who flirt with men of other ethnic groups and marry them, Chechen women who have chosen the wrong path, and those creatures who call themselves Chechen men. Given half a chance, we will set all of them straight. Having sworn on the Quran, we will go out onto the streets. This is our declaration of intent. Do not say that you were not warned. Do not say that you did not know. May Allah grant us peace and set our feet on the path towards justice. So right away, they already sound kind of crazy. Now I'll give you some context as to what they were referring to. Now, this declaration was read by a representative of a Berlin-based gang of about 100 members, headed by a former henchman of Dokhar Dodiev, a late Chechen separatist leader. All Berliners of Chechen origin were interviewed by Medusa and said they were aware of the gang's existence. Now, basically, this all started after a video surfaced. The video of this statement surfaced after nude images of a 20-year-old Chechen woman who lives in Berlin were sent en masse from her stolen cell phone to every person on her contact list. Within an hour, the woman's uncle demanded to speak with her parents. According to Medusa, they agreed to resolve the issue, quote-unquote, within the family by sending the woman back to Chechnya, where she would be killed to restore the family's honor. German police intervened just hours before the woman was to board a plane bound for Russia. You want to talk about vigilante fucking justice? It's like George Zimmerman times 100 with a tan and a beard.
So if those cops would have taken an extended lunch, that lady would be dead right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I talk about whenever I say they're culturally backwards. Now, you know, obviously, having all your nudes leaked to everyone on your phone, that's pretty embarrassing. I don't want my grandma to see my balls, personally.
Always take your nudes without your face in it, man. Come on.
Yeah, like I might want your grandma to see my balls.
Oh, wow. Not my balls, grandma.
But, you know, that happens in Western culture. We say, oh, that's pretty embarrassing. We might poke fun at you. You might lose a couple of friends over it because you might be a whore. Who knows? But that's kind of the extent of it. Outside of, you know, a little embarrassment, your life gets to generally keep
you don't have to die.
Yeah. In this fucking society, and of course I'm referring to the Islamic extremists that are flooding en masse to Germany, they're going to send you back to your homeland to be killed. The country which you first sought refuge from in the first place
has now become the country that you tried to leave for that reason, because we are letting in people that cannot assimilate and still follow their culture for the same reasons that turned their country into a shithole. They're just turning these other countries into shitholes.
Right. It's kind of a smaller scale parallel of that is people from California flooding en masse to states like Texas and Florida because of less restrictions on business and things like that. But then they go there and then they just vote for the same policies that makes California a shithole.
Yeah. It's absolutely, like, I mean, like, spending a lot of time in Austin. I mean, Austin is, I mean, they're supposed to be building a new Apple headquarters in Austin. I mean, they're literally turning Austin into LA.
Yeah.
And, it's like one of the big blue spots in Texas, and Austin is incredibly liberal, which it's a great city. I mean, I actually love the city, but it's incredibly liberal, and not in the bad way that you would assume as it, well, not bad in the way of immigrants coming in and turning.
Like, right, I just find it to be an interesting
American
parallel.
Liberalism is nothing compared to
Islamic extremism.
No, they're not shifting.
No, it's not even extremism. It's what, like, I mean, that is how the entire
I'm using the popular
operates.
Term, though. I'm using the popular term here so that we're on the same page. But by and large, Islam, how it is commonly practiced in the Middle East. But my point being, I'm drawing the parallel that, you know, these refugees say, oh, man, my country fucking sucks. Let me go somewhere else. And then they get to that country and they're like, why isn't it more like my country? I fucking hate this place. And then, boom, gaze off of rooftops. Which, you know.
You know, at some
could
point.
Could be worse.
At some point, you think they look in the mirror and say, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one who needs to change a little bit.
Yeah, like when all these problems kind of revolve around one thing, and you still keep trying to blame other things.
The refugee crisis can be summed up metaphorically is that crazy-ass woman you know that's been married a dozen times, and not once was it, man, maybe I'm fucked up, but then she's like, why can't I just find... Both of them.
Okay.
instead, it's just, you know, instead of it being... Oh, man, maybe there are some things I could do better. It's, why can't I find a fucking man around here? And it's kind of crazy how that works. Instead of the self-reflection of saying, hey, maybe this culture is a little toxic to a functioning society that doesn't blow themselves up and shit in the streets, they just say to themselves, nope, this country's not for me. Not enough street shitting or exploding for my taste.
I just want a little less.
And I'm not talking about explosive shits in the streets either. I'm talking about actually blowing up.
Yeah.
And... So that goes back to, like, the original message when I first started listening to this was personal responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at your crap that we all have, take responsibility, and change it. Be an adult.
Fix your fuck. Nobody else is gonna, like, why rely on the government or policy to fix your problems for you? And this doesn't necessarily, like, why rely on this, I guess, what is the word I'm looking for? This age-old backwards religion to, why do you keep leaning on this? This is the religion that caused the problem. Why you had to leave your country, why you had to uproot and leave your country, why would you turn back to that?
Right. And there's a familiarity with it, I guess. But, I mean, that's just the thing. These people culturally are far too different from us. You know, some of them do assimilate, and I give them all the credit in the world. If you want to go to a country and be a part of it and be a contributing member to society, by all means, welcome. You're my ninja. I'm not black, so I guess I can't say it.
I've actually got a couple Arab people I went to high school with, and they assimilated, and they're just some awesome, good people.
Yeah,
they cannot go back, because their family said, if you come back, we're going to kill you. Because they assimilated and became awesome, good people.
Well, I mean, if you fucking drink alcohol or have sex or any of these things that, you know, maybe those are, you know, really negative. I'm not going to say really negative, but they're not the best indicator of what Western civilization could be, but those are things that their religion completely forbids.
Right.
Like, if you have a drink of alcohol...
Death by stoning offense.
Yeah.
It could be.
Right, and I think the parallel to draw from that is that if you are entrenched in Islam and are a true believer of it, which most of the people in the Middle East are, a vast majority of them, while not necessarily violent, or rather the opportunity to be violent hasn't really presented itself to them, is one way you could look at that. There's no way to really prove that, but that's just kind of my theory on it. But if you're entrenched in Islamic culture, there is almost no way that you will be productive to Western society and culture, is the main takeaway from that. Because everything is going to be so foreign to you that you're gonna fucking hate it. So I guess the takeaway from that is, fuck off, we're full.
I agree. I mean, just, we don't...
Which is actually the Italian stance, something I wanted to touch on.
Oh, yeah, the Italians, quick. That was good.
Was it? Yeah.
Oh, it kept...